Please open your Bible today to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. The message this morning is the fourth in a series of messages under the general theme of how to succeed in a man's world. And today's message is how to succeed as a husband. Many of you to whom I speak today are husbands, and some of you will be husbands in a matter of a few months or years. And then others of you will never be husbands, regardless of how long you live, because you're of the female gender. But nevertheless, it'll do you good to sit in and listen a little bit while I talk to the husbands and those who will be husbands someday. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychoanalysis, once said, "Despite my 30 years of research into the feminine soul, I have not yet been able to answer the great question, what does a woman want?" Well, that very well may be the great question. Just what does a woman want? Every husband has felt that sense of frustration. What does my wife really want? What makes her tick? Why does she function like she functions? And how come I cannot figure her out? Well, men, let's go ahead and admit it, that women are mysterious. And that's part of the fascination that a man has for a woman, is that there's that bit of mystery about them. But along with the fascination is a sense of frustration at times. And tragically, many husbands, unable to understand their wives, unable to explain what makes her tick or what makes her function, just quietly give up and resign themselves to living in marriage, but more as roommates than as partners. And instead, they focus their time and effort and energy in a career, in a job, or maybe in a hobby, instead of taking the time and effort and energy to focus on the marriage relationship. And life together with a sense of intimacy and friendship never develops. Now, husbands, let me say at the outset of this message that I believe that under God, a man's best wife, a best friend, ought to be his wife. And if it's anybody other than his wife, something's not quite in order as God has ordained. Now, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, where we read these words, "Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love." We are admonished in the Word of God to enjoy living with the one to whom we are married, to enjoy life with your wife. Now, in order for this to take place, a husband must do his part in making the marriage function. Now, the wife has a role to play as well, but this is a series of messages not to women, but to men. And so today I want to focus for the most part on the husband's responsibility to make his marriage a magnificent marriage, a beautiful relationship, and to give some practical guidance to help a husband succeed as a husband. Now, the Bible says that a man is to enjoy life with his wife. He ought to find a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and enjoyment and reward in his marriage relationship, in his relationship with his wife, that he won't find anywhere else. And he can't find it anywhere else except there. Now, if a husband is going to succeed as a husband, if a man's going to succeed in his married life, what's going to be necessary for that to take place? And what I have to say today, we can hang together on four words. So you might want to jot these down, and everything that I say is somehow going to fit under one of these four categories. Number one is determination. If a man's going to succeed as a husband, he must first of all determine to do so. Number two is demonstration. If a man is going to succeed as a husband, he must demonstrate toward his wife his unwavering love. Number three is the word danger. When a man is going to succeed in his marriage relationship, he must be aware of the dangers that are out there that would destroy that relationship. And then number four is the word delight. Now let's look at these words and in sequence. First of all is the word determination. As we think about a man's determination to make his marriage succeed and to be a successful husband, I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And there we'll look in verses 32, 33, and 34. Now, when the Apostle Paul was penning these words to the Corinthian Christians, he gave a long section here about marriage and about being single and about who can remarry after being deserted by a mate and so forth. And in chapter 7, verses 32 and following, we read these words. 1 Corinthians 7:32. Paul said, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord." Verse 33, "But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided." So the Scripture says that when a man is a single man, when a man does not have a wife, he can be fully devoted to the Lord. That is, he can be single-minded in every way, focusing in on his relationship with Jesus. He doesn't have to be concerned about also having a wife or children or so forth. But in verse 33, the Apostle Paul says, a married man has a divided responsibility. He is to be, of course, devoted to the Lord Jesus as his primary allegiance, but he also has the responsibility to his wife. Now look again in verse 33. I want you to see these very words that are given to us here. The latter part of verse 33, where we're told that a married man, must see how he can please his wife. Now listen carefully, men. God has ordained and admonished every husband to make it as one of his primary functions in life to please his mate. God's called you to that responsibility. Now, when you stood at the marriage altar, you may not have known that. That may not have been in your mind. Perhaps no one ever shared that with you or communicated that with you, but the Bible spells it out very clearly. And so every husband has as one of his God-given assignments to please his mate, to please his wife. Now, men, if you want to succeed as a husband, you must first of all determine to make it your business to please your wife. For a successful husband is one who pleases his wife. And you need to know that determination and not desire is called for. If a man just says, well, I desire to please her, but he doesn't determine to do so, he doesn't set his face like a flint to do so, to make every effort to do so, he probably won't do so. And so determination is an essential ingredient to make a marriage relationship be everything that Jesus wants it to be. That means that there must be a commitment to make your marriage the very best. That means hard work. You know, all of us have heard the cliche that marriages are made in heaven. Well, that's both true and false. It is true in the sense that God brings a man and a woman together, and in His sovereign plan, God chooses this man and this woman to be husband and wife. I believe that. But it's not true in the sense that if we mean by the fact that marriages are made in heaven, that once a man and woman come together as husband and wife, that everything that they need to function in a satisfying, rewarding marriage relationship is automatically going to take place because God ordained that this man and this woman be married. In fact, marriages really aren't made in heaven in that sense. Someone once has said that marriages are not made in heaven. They come in kits and we have to put them together ourselves. That's good counsel. And so the fact of the matter is that if a man is going to succeed as a husband, there's a price that he must pay. And a part of that price is a commitment to your mate to do whatever it takes to please your wife. And determine under God that you will pay that price. You'll make whatever sacrifice is called for. You will do what is necessary to make your marriage a magnificent, beautiful, marvelous marriage relationship. Now, men, your wife wants to be everything in your life. I mean, she really does. That's why she married you. She wants to be the warmth in your sunshine. She wants to be the milk in your gravy. She wants to be the steel in your bridge. And she needs never, ever, ever to doubt your love for her and your commitment to her. I mean, it ought never to cross her mind that somehow that you might be unfaithful to her, untrue to her, that you have anything less than an absolute, unwavering, unbreakable, unshakable, unconditional love for your mate. That's why it's so important that a husband determine before God that he'll pay any price, make any sacrifice, go to any length necessary to do what 1 Corinthians 7:33 says, learn how to please your wife. A man who knows how to please his wife never, ever, ever has to fear his wife running out on him with some other man. If you're the man that you ought to be, pleasing your wife, she's going to be so attracted to you, she's going to stay with you for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth. And so if a man wants to be a successful husband, the first thing he must do is make a determination under God to pay the price to please his wife. Now, a second factor that's necessary, if a man wants to be a successful husband, is the factor of demonstration. And when I use the word demonstration, I'm speaking at this point of the necessity for a man to demonstrate his love for his wife. I look in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have spelled out for us what is the most significant need that a wife has that only a husband can fulfill. Now, every man has legitimate needs. Every woman has legitimate needs. But the greatest need that a wife has is the need to be loved by her husband. That's the foundational need. And when a husband fulfills that need, then he has the foundation in place to fill the other needs. Ephesians chapter 5, look in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Look in verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Look in verse 33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. And so we're told, first of all, that a man ought to love his wife as Jesus loves the church. Number two, he ought to love his wife as he loves his own body. Number three, he ought to love his wife as he loves himself. Now listen, men, the greatest need that your wife has is to know that you love her with an unwavering, unconditional, unbreakable love. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, obviously she knows I love her because I wouldn't have married her if I didn't love her. I mean, why else do you get married? You marry somebody because you love them. But a wife needs to be reminded and shown on a daily basis that her husband truly loves her. Now, the old cliche is, she knows I love her, but that's not enough. And there are many, many women in this world who would gladly give up living in a palatial mansion with a husband who doesn't know how to demonstrate his love to go live in a hut with a husband who would. In fact, I read of one lady who was married to a very well-to-do and enterprising businessman who was so busy expanding his financial empire that he neglected to demonstrate love for his wife. He neglected to fill this most basic need in her heart. And then he was amazed to discover one day that she ran off to live with one of his hired hands who showed her love. Now, that doesn't justify adultery. It just explains it. And some men are so wrapped up in their business world, in their work world, that they neglect the most primary human relationship of all, the marriage relationship. And then they wake up one day and discover that their wife's gone. How tragic and sad. Now, if a man's going to demonstrate his love, he needs to learn some ways to do that. I want to give you five or six ways, men, that I believe are practical ways for you to demonstrate love for your wife. Now, when I say five or six ways, I'm talking about a suggestive list. Now, this list could be much longer than this, but just in the time constraints that we have, just some practical, simple things that any man can do to demonstrate love for your wife. You say, well, she knows I love her, but you need to demonstrate it. You need to communicate it on a regular basis. What are they? Number one, if you want to demonstrate love for your wife, the first thing I would suggest you do is that you express to your wife your love for her. I mean, just open your mouth and just put those three words together. I love you. In fact, a man ought to do that several times every single day. I'm reminded of the old Vermont farmer. You know, Vermonters are not known for being very verbal. And the old Vermont farmer was reputed to have said one day, I love Sarah Jane so much it takes all I can do to keep from telling her. Well, that's true of many of a man in marriage who loves his wife, but he just doesn't tell her. Tell her every day. Tell her several times a day. And call her up from the office and just take a minute or two and just say, I'm calling to tell you that I'm thinking about you, that I wish I was with you, and I love you, and I want you to know that. And I'd also take that a step further and communicate to your wife that she can call you any time of the day and that you're willing to hear from her. You know, occasionally I hear about men, pastors and professors and others in the business world who said to their wives, whatever you do, don't disturb me at work. Don't call me. Don't bother me. I just don't want to hear from you. Now, I think that's tragic because you communicate to your wife that there's a part of your life that she's not welcome in. And that's a way to destroy a marriage. Your wife ought to be welcome in every part of your world. You know, in order to be pastor of this church, I set out blocks of time in which to study. And the ladies who work in the office know that when I'm studying, if any calls come in, that I'll return calls at noon. And so they just take them down. Many of you call and pastor study, and I'll call you back when I break for lunch. But they also know that it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm in a conference with somebody, if I'm studying, if I'm on hold, if my wife calls or my children call, they always put them through if they want to be put through. And a wife ought to know that she is so welcome in her husband's work world that she could come or call at any time. He'd be welcome, and she'd be welcome, and he'd be glad to see her. Tell your wife, "I love you," several times daily. A second way that a man can demonstrate his love for his wife is to express appreciation. Now, by expression of appreciation, I simply mean to let her know how thankful you are to her for her efforts to please you, for all the things that she does to make your life a pleasant experience, for the food that she prepares, for the way she keeps the house in order, for the way she tends to the children. And, you know, since my father-in-law has been critically ill the last few days, and my wife's been gone all last week, and I've been both father and mother, I've come to a new sense of appreciation of what it means to be a mother. I thought it was tough to be a father and a pastor, but I believe to be a mother must be the greatest challenge on the face of the earth. And I don't want to trade places with any mother I know anywhere, but I have come to appreciate the load that they carry. And I believe a word of appreciation, a word of gratitude, if you enjoy a meal, you ought to say thank you. I don't believe a person ought to ever get up from the breakfast table, the dinner table, or the supper table without saying, "I enjoyed the meal," at least that. And just show gratitude. Communicate your sense of appreciation to your mate for all the things that she does. You say, "Well, she knows I'm grateful." Well, you ought to let her know that. Make sure that she hears it on a regular, daily basis. The third way in which a man can demonstrate love for his wife is to help around the house. Now, I know this to be true because whenever Kim and I have had the conversations about, whenever I go to her and I say, "Kim, what are the things that I can do to show you that I love you?" I mean, we've had this kind of conversation quite a few times through the years. Every time, the one thing I think that is standard on every list is help around the house without being told to. And somehow, when you're told to, it's not quite as effective in demonstrating love as when you just volunteer to help around the house. I mean, wash up the dishes, or occasionally volunteer to scrub out the tub or vacuum the floor or carry out the garbage or whatever it is. And in ways that men, I believe, have trouble comprehending, that communicates to a man's wife how deeply he loves her. If she's in there working away somewhere in the kitchen or somewhere, go in there and find out what she's doing. Offer to help. Join in. The work will be done in half the time, and you'll have a good time spending time with her, and she will learn to appreciate you and to give thanks to God for you. A woman somehow hears her husband communicate and demonstrate his love for her when he helps around the house that she can't hear it in any other way. A fourth suggestion I would make to men about how to demonstrate your love for your wife is to make the time to communicate. In fact, I believe that communication is the single most important factor in a marriage relationship. Now, what is the whole purpose of marriage? Well, in a nutshell, the purpose of marriage is for two people, a man and a woman, to come together as husband and wife and to become one. Now, not just one physically, but one spiritually and one emotionally and one psychologically and one mentally. The whole purpose of marriage is for two to be one. Now, if that's going to take place, the key ingredient in every marriage relationship for that kind of oneness to occur is communication. Sometimes I hear financial counselors say the primary reason that marriages fail today is because of disagreement over finances. I don't believe that. Sometimes you'll hear some other counselor say, "Well, the primary reason that marriages fail now in our society is because of sexual maladjustment." I don't believe that. Let me tell you why marriages fail. Because a husband and a wife don't communicate. They can't communicate. If you can communicate, you can resolve those financial problems. If a man and his wife can communicate, they can resolve those sexual maladjustments. Whatever the issue is, when a husband and wife have learned to communicate together, you can solve any problem that comes along. And I'm convinced that a non-believing, non-Christian husband married to a non-believing, non-Christian wife who know how to communicate can have a more rewarding, fulfilling, satisfying marriage relationship than can two Christians who don't communicate and don't know how to communicate. You see, just because a man's a Christian, he marries a Christian woman, doesn't mean they have a Christian marriage. That just means you got two Christians and they may be living together in a non-Christian marriage. And communication, as far as I'm concerned, is the essential ingredient and factor in establishing a wonderful, rewarding, fulfilling, magnificent marriage relationship. Because the whole purpose of marriage is for two to become one. Now, having said that, how does communication take place? Well, there's a price to be paid. If communication is going to take place, you've got to give up some other things in order to make the time to communicate. It may be turning off the television so you have time to talk and listen. It may mean giving up a hobby so that you have time in order to talk and listen. Or it may mean that a husband and a wife combine hobbies so that they do the same thing so that they're together and have the time to communicate. The key to communication is carving out the time necessary for husband and wife to sit down together and to do two things, to talk and to listen. Now, unless both partners are willing to talk and to listen, then communication won't take place. And so when a man comes in from work at the end of the day, he ought to be willing to sit down with his wife sometime before bedtime and tell her about his day. My wife wants to know what's happened in my day. And for me, it's still perplexing to me because my days are, for the most part, relatively uneventful. I mean, they're rewarding and I enjoy what I'm doing, but it's not all that exciting. She wants to tell everybody about it. But she wants to know. So I'm making an effort to communicate with her and tell her, you know, what I did during the day. And then she wants to tell me about her day, about the good things that happened, or maybe some of the frustrations, or some of those the problems with the children, or something at school, or whatever. Maybe something in the house is broken, and I need to know that. And so you take the time on a regular daily basis to sit down and to talk and to listen. Now, let's be honest, men. Most men are not as talkative as most ladies. And on the other hand, most men don't listen as well as most ladies either. And when there's a failure to communicate, 99 times out of 100, it's not the wife's fault, it's the man's fault. He neither wants to talk to her and tell him what he's thinking, nor does he want to listen to her and hear what she's got to say. And so we men would do ourselves a big favor if we would make a very special effort to go out of our way to develop some communication skills and allow our wives to get inside of us and to know what we're thinking and seek to get inside our wives' minds. You know, I don't know why this has happened, but about 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, somehow I have just an insatiable sense to want to know my wife in a way that I've never known her. And I can't explain it. I just want to get inside her mind. I want to know how she thinks. I want to know how she ticks. I'm fascinated by the girl. And I've been married to her 18 years, you know. And, you know, if I get my golden anniversary, I've got 32 to go. And I don't know in the next 32 years that I've got enough time to learn all there is to learn about her. But when I first married her, I hardly knew the girl. And I knew her so little. What I know now is almost like I didn't know her at all in comparison. And perhaps God has done this in my life. But God wants two to become one. Now, how can I be one with her unless I think like she thinks and she thinks like I think, unless we communicate? And it's a lot of fun. It's challenging at times, and sometimes it's frustrating, and sometimes you bump heads a little bit. But the result is worth the price of taking the time to communicate. The sad thing about it is, sometimes when conflict comes up in a marriage relationship, so many men, they do the old withdrawal role. You know, they're like the turtle. They just pull his head back in the shell, and they just sit there and turn the TV on, pull the sports page out, and refuse to say anything to his wife. Just grunt at her when she speaks. Now, that's so sad. Did we not read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that a man ought to enjoy life with his wife? If she's your best friend, men, you're going to take time to communicate with her. Be interested in her world. Make her important. Now let's move on. A fifth suggestion I would make to a man who wants to demonstrate love for his wife is never quit romancing your wife. Don't ever stop courting her. Sadly, some men come to the marriage altar, they say, I do, she says, I do. And it's almost like a hunter out on a fox hunt. You know, he's caught the animal, and now the hunt's over, and he quits courting her. How sad. Men, you will succeed as a husband if you will romance your wife to the day you die. As long as you live, you ought to court your wife and romance her. Now, we know the old adage that you want to be sure that you don't forget birthdays and anniversaries and Mother's Days. That's true, and you don't want to forget that. But if you really want to romance your wife, you want to remember her and surprise her on just ordinary days. I mean, just say a typical Tuesday work day. Just show up with flowers or some kind of surprise, or when you make a trip. And if you travel an awful lot, you can't do this every trip, but occasionally if you make a trip, bring her back something, some jewelry or a dress or something. My wife is always delighted and surprised and pleased when I come back from somewhere and bring her something. And I've been doing that for many years now. And I remember when I first would begin to go into ladies' dress shops by myself to pick my wife out a dress for a surprise. You talk about feeling strange and awkward. I mean, it's a bad, bad feeling. I feel like a sot drunk. I felt like a sot drunk in an AA meeting the first time I went in one of those things. You feel like every eye in the place is on you. Like, boy, this guy's a real rookie. He doesn't know anything about buying a dress. And look how stupid he is. But you know, the first time I did it, it met with such joy on her part that I just couldn't stop. And so surprise your wife occasionally with something like that. Just do it. It's a part of romancing your wife. And, you know, another way to romance your wife is to just continue to take her out. I mean, you ought to just continue to court her and date her, because as you do that, you're making memories. And they'll stand you in good stead in the years to come. Remember how it was before you were married? You want to take her to some nice place to eat or go out somewhere? You can do that after you're married. And Kim and I spend Friday mornings together. That's the time that we share together. And we don't always manage to meet that because her father's illness and she was out of town this Friday. We couldn't do that, but on an average week, we'll spend Friday morning together. We may go for a bike ride, or we may go for a hike down the Bartram Trail, or we may go to a university library and spend some time reading together, or we may go to Atlanta shopping, or we may go to a nice place to eat, or we may go to a not-so-nice place to eat, but we just spend the time together, going out together. And I have more fun courting my wife now than I did before we were married. We know each other better now. There's less friction now. There's more fun now. We're better friends now than we were before we were married. A man demonstrates his love for his wife when he continues to take her out on a regular basis. And no man is too old to do that. A man demonstrates his love for his wife and demonstrates romance for his wife by simple things like being courteous, opening doors, pulling the chair. And you know, men, you know, you can do yourself a real favor if you will praise your wife in the presence of other people. And yet how sad that so many men play the game that I call assassinate the spouse. You get in a group of friends, and you find some cutting remark to say about your wife, and perhaps the way she looks, or the way she talks, or what she did, or some big mistake she made. Now, all of us ought to be able to take a joke occasionally, but I'm talking about where you just put somebody down in public, where you belittle them. You know, one simple statement can wound so deeply that a wife can take weeks and weeks to get over it. Instead of being like that, why don't you make it your business to find something about your wife that you can praise? Some way you can commend her or compliment her or brag on her in the presence of somebody else. And maybe you're saying it to her and they overhear you say it and she knows they overhear and that makes her feel like a queen. Or maybe you're saying it to them and she overhears you. The result is always the same. A man will demonstrate his love for his wife by romancing his wife, by continuing to praise her before others, by complimenting her appearance, by telling others what a wonderful person she is, and then also by taking trips together. I believe a man ought always to take his wife on special trips occasionally. Perhaps it's for an overnight, perhaps it's for a few days and nights, but just some time to go off, just you and your wife without the children, just to be alone, to have a break. To build the marriage relationship. That's an investment that will pay great dividends in your marriage. Now let me give you another way. Let me give you a sixth way in which a husband can demonstrate his love for his wife. And again, I say to you, this is just a suggestive list. There's so much more that could be said that must be left unsaid. A sixth way in which a husband can demonstrate his love for his wife is to take his role as a father seriously. If you want your wife to know how much you love her, take your role as a father seriously. Far too many men are so involved in their work that they have little or any time to be involved with their sons and daughters. And a wife knows that a husband truly loves her when he takes his role as a father seriously. It's tough for a lady to be married to a man who is an uninvolved father. I believe that it's difficult as a widowed mother has, or a divorced mother has, or any single mother has in raising children. It must be more difficult for the lady who is married, who does have a husband, but whose husband refuses to be involved in the lives of the sons and daughters. Because there he is as a constant reminder to her that he's not going to be involved. He's just dropped out of that responsibility. And so I would say to the husbands here today, if you want to show your wife that you really love her, be involved in the lives of your sons and daughters. That doesn't mean that you do everything because she does some of it, but it means that you do some of it. And that you take an interest in their schoolwork, in their play, in their hobbies or whatever it is that they do. It's especially true in the home where they're preschoolers. Now when the kids are up in school, you know, the wife can have a little break during the day from the children. But when a mother has two or three preschoolers at home, she desperately needs some time alone by herself. And a husband will demonstrate in a way that he can never do otherwise his great love for his wife when they have preschool children is to find some time every week where he says to her, I'm going to take the kids for a few hours. You do whatever you want to do. They're my responsibility. Maybe she just wants to take a nap. She probably needs a nap if she has several preschoolers at home. Maybe she just wants a few hours to go to the shopping mall. But whatever it is she wants to do, a husband demonstrates his love for his wife when he has preschool children by giving her free time away from those little kiddos so that she can have some time to herself. Now, I've suggested six ways in which a husband can demonstrate love to his wife. We must move on. Let me give you three dangers that a husband needs to be aware of if he wants to succeed as a husband. I can only briefly touch on these. The first danger that a husband needs to be aware of if he wants to succeed as a husband is the danger of work supplanting his relationship with his wife. Now, work is honorable, and work is God-ordained, and God has created work for the human race to be engaged in. But when a man's job becomes more important than his marriage relationship, then his work is out of balance and out of place. And it will destroy the marriage relationship. Some men who would never be sexually unfaithful to their wives have a mistress, and the mistress is their job. And they're so involved getting ahead in the workaday world that they neglect their marriage partner. That's a danger that every man needs to guard against. A second danger that a man needs to guard against if he wants to succeed as a husband is the danger of too much focus on the children. Now you might say, well, that just contradicts what you just said. Not at all. Listen to it as I try to give it to you in balance. As parents, as fathers, we have a responsibility to our sons and daughters. But our responsibility as fathers ought to be maintained in proper balance and perspective. Now, what is that? To give them the time and attention they need, but to remember that the husband-wife relationship supersedes the father-child relationship. And some marriage couples have made the mistake of being so involved in the lives of their sons and daughters during their childhood years that after about 25 years, when the last child is now grown and gone and the nest is empty, that husband and wife look across the breakfast table at each other and they discover they are total strangers because all of these last 25 years, they've been so involved in the lives of their kids, their ball games, their concerts, their piano lessons, all the things they're doing at school and so forth, that they've not taken the time to cultivate the marriage relationship. The parent-child relationship, for the most part, is a primary relationship generally for about 20 years, and that's it. The child goes, moves away, and establishes his own home. The husband-wife relationship may last 50, 60, or more years, and it should if life lasts that long. And so it is a more primary relationship. And a husband who puts so much focus on his parenting responsibilities that it neglects his marriage responsibilities makes a mistake. That's a danger that you need to be alerted to. Now, a third danger that a husband needs to be alerted to as he seeks to be a successful husband is the danger of the other woman. Now, listen carefully. Sexual unfaithfulness is rampant in our society. And it's promoted on every hand by the media. And the temptation is out there for every man to be unfaithful. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I would never, ever be unfaithful to my wife. But a man who says that, who categorically says, this is a certain sin that I'm sure I would never do, is a man who's put himself up on a pedestal and he makes himself an easy target for the enemy. Listen, men, listen carefully now. There's not a temptation known to man. There's not a sin known to the human race that under the right set of circumstances you would not be vulnerable to if you didn't have your guard up. Deacons have fallen morally. Sunday school teachers have fallen morally. Pastors have fallen morally. It could happen to me. It could happen to you. And if we understand that, so that we always keep our guard up, that we never are careless around other women, especially those with whom we work, but that we make sure that we keep them at a respectable distance, and I'm talking about not just physically, but I'm talking about emotionally and otherwise, so that we set this hedge about our own marriage relationship and understand that there is a danger out there and any man can fail if he lets his guard down. Now, there's a last thing I want to speak to you about, and that's delight. This is what the wise man Solomon said. Proverbs 5:18, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. God says that a man ought to find delight in his wife. He ought to find joy in the wife of his youth. Now, he may be in the latter years of his life, but he still ought to be finding joy and delight and satisfaction in the wife that he married 40 or 50 years ago. Listen to it again. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Not that you have to get a new wife every 10 or 15 years, but just that you take joy and delight and satisfaction in the one that you married when she was a young lady and you are a young man. That's the kind of delight that God wants every husband to experience. And there's not a man here today who could not experience success as a husband if he will put into practice the principles and the precepts which are set forth for us in the pages of Holy Scripture. God has called you, sir, to please your wife. If you're the man of God you ought to be, you will make it one of your primary responsibilities to succeed as a husband by pleasing your wife.